Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On the field and the me off the field.
I make too much money to have fake ones, so these are real.
I just think they're pretty cool. What do you think?
Are you always like this? Like, are you always that cool?
Joseph Lee Burrow.
He does not
that
care.
Boy Joey B.
He's a bad man.
This is what I've always wanted to do. Football is Joe Burrow.
Touchdown! Bengals!
F it. Mars down there somewhere.
The window?
The window's my whole career.
I think if we didn't prove it today, I don't know how else you prove it.
That is a sight Bengals fans have been waiting to see since November. Joe Burrow is back on the field, and we'll hear from Cincinnati's quarterback in moments. Welcome to NFL Live. We're glad you're here with us. I'm Courtney Cronin. Andrew Hawkins, Tim Hasselbeck, Jeff Darlington are with us for the next 60 minutes. Burrow back out on the practice field in a backwards hat. This is the first time we've seen him on the Bengals practice field since he underwent surgery to repair a torn ligament in his right wrist. And we will hear from some of his teammates. We've heard already that he has been ripping it down the field in practice. Now let's hear from Burrow about how he's feeling after Tuesday's session.
Be out there for training camp, get as many reps as I can with the guys. I'm going to be smart about it. You know, if I need a break, I need a break. The wrist has good days and bad days, just like the knee did. We're still pretty early. We still got a ways till the season, so we're gonna make sure that we give it the breaks that it needs. We're gonna be smart about it, but you know, we're getting through it and continuing to improve, you know, mentally and physically every day.
Burrow is looking to make his way back from a second season-ending injury over his four-year NFL career. In addition to that torn wrist ligament in his throwing hand in 2023, there was also the torn ACL in 2020. He then missed the final game of the 2021 season with a knee injury, but he did say that he would have been able to play through it if the Bengals hadn't already locked up the AFC North. Jeff Darlington, we start with you. That was a really honest answer from Joe Burrow, who isn't claiming to be at 100% full health just yet, and that he's anticipating he may have some good days and have some not so good days when he's throwing. What is the latest you're hearing on Burrow's recovery this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why we're hearing the two words that are used so often when it comes to his current time frame, and that is cautious optimism. The people I spoke to in Cincinnati said that he looked great in practice when he was on the field throwing passes. He looked like normal Joe Burrow. Now, of course, he did point out, though, they have good days and bad days. And one other thing that Burrow said is he's flying blind a little bit when it comes to the recovery from this injury, not because this injury hasn't caused other people to miss time, but because it hasn't really happened to many quarterbacks. Burrow said he's kind of gone through it and found as many guys as he can who've dealt with this torn ligament in his wrist, and a lot of them are linebackers or linemen, but no quarterbacks. So again, there's not much precedent for how quickly he should be coming back to actually throwing passes. The good news is we are at least seeing him do exactly that so far this early offseason.
Yeah, those linebackers, the guys in the trenches, Tim, don't necessarily need the mobility that Joe Burrow has to have as a quarterback. So a little bit different approach he's had to take here in order to find out how this recovery is going to look for him and how different it might be for other football players who have had the same injury. What are you expecting as far as what it's going to look like when he's back on the field and what the timeline for this bounce back is going to be?
You know what's funny is look, what I expect, Courtney, I think is what a lot of people expect, is that Joe Burrow is going to be the same old Joe Burrow, because if he is healthy, okay, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL, and he's got plenty of talent around him to help him have an outstanding season. I think the question ends up being is my expectation and everybody else's expectation of guys just bounce back from injuries like this. I think sometimes we maybe take it for granted for, you know, what it actually is. And I think that Joe, as Jeff kind of pointed out, has kind of given us a glimpse into, you know, the challenge that he's facing. And maybe he doesn't even really know the timeline. And that, look, some days he maybe feels great, and then other days Maybe it feels a little stiff. It doesn't feel like you can throw the ball the same way. It does feel a little bit like uncharted territory because there aren't a bunch of quarterbacks that have gone through it where you kind of have a roadmap for what the return will look like. And so I think in that regard, I think Cincinnati is going to have to be fairly flexible with them.
Yeah, I mean, for every NFL player since the beginning of time, playing in the league means learning to play your best, but not being at full strength. And that's something that Joe Burrow has done routinely. But the reality is the ceiling for the Cincinnati Bengals is predicated on how quickly he can feel healthy. Because as a quarterback, when you have to take in all the factors and you are the one who has to think the most, it is very tough to add an injury as something that you need to be considering in the midst of your play. That's why people who play through injuries the best are typically the ones at the positions who don't have to do as much thinking. So for Joe Burrow, as soon as he can get comfortable, that's when you'll see him at his best. And the Cincinnati Bengals need it because he is the key to their success and what their ceiling is, to Tim's point.
The vast majority of the Bengals roster was present on Tuesday at OTAs as Joe Burrow got back to work. Notably absent was defensive end Trey Hendrickson and Cincinnati's top two receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Joe Burrow addressed the trade request made by both Higgins and Hendrickson this offseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, those guys have their business that they need to take care of. I support them in every way. You know, both those guys have earned everything that's come to them and more. So I'll support them all the way through it, whatever they feel like is best for their career. That's for them and their agents and their families to decide. But we're here to win football games. I really hope both those guys are here with us next year because we're a better football team with both of them. And they're both great locker room guys too. So they're going to do what they got to do. But when the time comes for them to come back, if that time comes, we're going to welcome them back and hit our stride.
So the Bengals entered the offseason with a boatload of salary cap space and some major business to get done, too. Jeff, where do things stand right now with the Bengals and Burrow's top two targets, Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, who we know they picked up his fifth-year option, and now he's eligible for a contract extension this offseason?
Well, you mentioned it. First of all, $21.8 million is what T. Higgins will earn this year on that franchise tag. He is the peculiar one because, quite frankly, the team's priority is Ja'Marr Chase when it comes to the long-term stability. They do want both players back, and they have made that much very clear. In theory, can they actually make that happen, though? The question becomes, how much is T. Higgins going to demand? Because if he is looking for that wide receiver one money, he might have to find it somewhere else. It feels like a difficult proposition to expect the Cincinnati Bengals at the peak of these wide receivers' money right now, some of them inching toward that $30 million mark, that they'll be able to bring two of those guys into the mix. If T. Higgins is willing to take less, perhaps they can get it done. But this is still a long way to go for both players. You mentioned it. Higgins on the franchise tag and Chase on that fifth-year option.
Hawk, we heard Jeff just say that the team is very clearly prioritizing one receiver over the other and getting that business done. If you're T. Higgins in this situation, how do you go about letting it play out?
You get your mind settled on playing on a franchise tag for 1 year and upping your value as much as you possibly can, not only for your Cincinnati negotiations, but also for every other team around the league. The reality is he only played 12 games last season, and it wasn't putting his best foot forward going into free agency. Well, if the Cincinnati Bengals have planted their flag in the ground to say we have to worry about Ja'Marr Chase first before we can talk about giving you number one receiver money, use this to your advantage. You still have Joe Burrow, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if you are looking to do a career year to set yourself up for free agency leverage, he is the guy to be playing with. Use this year to your advantage, and then the world is your oyster.
Another quarterback recovering from a major injury last season is Anthony Richardson. He was seen back on the practice field yesterday, throwing to teammates for the first time since spraining the AC joint in his throwing shoulder. The former number four overall pick was off to a fast start as a rookie before undergoing season-ending surgery in October. All right, Jeff, I'm going to start here with you. What are you hearing about the timeline for Richardson's recovery?
Well, I can tell you that Anthony Richardson believes he is ready to go right now. And I would say that while we're talking about the cautious optimism that exists with Joe Burrow, to an extent that does exist with Anthony Richardson, but it feels to me like Richardson is maybe a step further along in his willingness to go out there and do as much as he can do. Now, the team is going to be cautious with him for sure. There's no reason to push him too far right now. But I would just say that we are trending right now toward Anthony Richardson being full go in training camp and, of course, by the regular season. Some very good news out of Indianapolis from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, for 4 months, they don't have to worry about getting him out there full go to the start of the regular season. So, Tim, when you take a look at the timeline that they may follow, how important are these next few months for Richardson's recovery? And how, what do you expect the Chiefs, excuse me, the Colts to do here as they get ready for mini camp and then training camp?
Yeah, Courtney, these months are important, but I expect the Colts to be patient. I expect Anthony Richardson to be patient because what really matters for him is not being available now through mini camps, OTAs, things like that, but to be ready during the season. And the reason I say that is he was drafted really as a potential guy. You know, he was drafted as a guy that they thought could improve. You know, not to say that he was a project, but there was going to need to be improvement because he was a 13-game starter in college. I guess he had one start the year prior to that. You know, he'd only started a few games last year. So he's got fewer in the last 3 years. He's got fewer than 20 starts in football games. Like, that's not a ton of football, especially when you're talking about being an expert or being a master at playing the toughest position in all of sports. So I think what they need to do is make sure that they get him to the season healthy, because I think in order to develop, which he needs to do, he needs to be on the field learning, not on the sideline learning. And so I think that is the number one thing that they can't lose sight of as he comes on this shoulder rehab.
Certainly in no rush to get him out there right now.
There's so much development that needs to happen. Like, to your point, Tim, I think when you look at Anthony Richardson and the talent that he has, we all can see that there really is no ceiling for someone like him. The way he can run the football, what he means in the pass game. I mean, we saw that cover two bender in those highlights. That's an elite level throw. Where it comes in is, how is he maturing as a quarterback and understanding what it means to be a professional in the way you go about the game? And there's going to be pieces that the Colts have added that will help with that. Taylor is back in the lineup in the backfield. They obviously added A.D. Mitchell, and we know how they feel about Michael Pittman. So he has the weapons in this offseason. It is going to be paramount that he builds that chemistry and develops a play style where he understands this doesn't have to rest solely on your shoulders in these games, because he was electrifying in those four games. But the problem was, I think he left three of them with injuries, and that's going to be a problem, and also curve the ceiling that we can get out of the Indianapolis Colts offense.
And we've heard from Colts coaches this offseason about potentially incorporating his legs into the playbook a little bit more. And Hawk, as you pointed out, they certainly put the work in to support Anthony Richardson's development this offseason, A.D. Mitchell, and then drafting two offensive linemen in rounds 3 and 4 of the draft. Time now for some quick reads. Let's stay on the theme of second-year quarterbacks and start with last year's number one overall pick. Tim, to Carolina, how does Bryce Young make the leap in year two?
Well, I think the big thing for him is he has to not get kind of bogged down by the changes around him. You know, the easiest way to say a quarterback's going to struggle is change the offense coordinator, change the head coach, and then do it again. This will feel like his third coach because a change was made in the middle of the season last year. And so I think for Bryce Young, I think, you know, try to remain steady kind of through all of the change that's happening around you. Kind of treat this as a reset. I think it's the best thing he can do going into year two.
Hawk, C.J. Stroud earned Rookie of the Year honors in 2023. How does he achieve similar success in year two?
He learns to manage the locker room. And not to say that he hasn't, but last year they came into this season with no expectations. The entire locker room. So they were kind of playing on house money, and they shocked a lot of people and exceeded our expectations. This year, we know how good they are. Not only that, they've added pieces like Stephon Diggs, who is a receiver that has been very vocal when he wants the football. So C.J. Stroud, as a leader, as a quarterback of this offense, how are you going to manage the people in that locker room will determine your success level.
Set a very high bar for other rookie quarterbacks to try to top in 2024. To Tennessee, Jeff, have the Titans done enough to build around Will Levis?
A great question, but they certainly have done a lot. They added a couple of wide receivers to their room this offseason, one of which was added today. Calvin Ridley earlier this offseason getting the mega contract with the Titans that should certainly help Will Levis this coming season, but also adding Tyler Boyd, who, by the way, was a very consistent player for the Bengals for a long time before a tough year this last year. So we'll see if he can rekindle some of that magic that he had earlier in his career with the Titans. If they can get productivity out of Boyd and Ridley, that should go at least a long way in helping Ridley, or in helping Will Levis, I should say, in this next season.
And his career began with a bang last year, through four touchdowns in that first career start, but then threw just four touchdowns in his final eight games. So we'll see if Tennessee is able to support him in helping him make the jump. Coming up next, the Patriots selected Drake May to be their franchise quarterback. But what are the chances he starts week one for New England? Hear why Tim believes the former UNC QB should start sooner rather than later. And after another disappointing end to the season, the Cowboys front office still believes the franchise is on the cusp of a Super Bowl. I think we've heard that a few times before. We'll discuss the validity of that claim coming up next on NFL Live. Here's the Week 7 UFL.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Scheduled Saturday, the Renegades look for their first win against the Showboats at 1 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Then the Stallions host the Battle Hawks on Fox. Sunday, our ESPN doubleheader is Panthers, DC Defenders at noon Eastern, followed by the Brahmas and the Roughnecks. Time now for some read and react. We start in Tampa, where new Bucs offensive coordinator Liam Cohen addressed expectations for Baker Mayfield in year two.
Definitely, I mean, there's not many days I don't think Baker wakes up and he doesn't have a chip on his left shoulder. But there is definitely a feeling that this is his team, and it's okay to fail. It's okay, you know, go out there and let it rip and be yourself every single day, no matter what, because you're going to be the guy, and we believe in you. And I think that that's something that ultimately he just hasn't really had the opportunity to have all that often in his career.
Well, he certainly proved that it is his team and more last season. Jeff, now that the Bucs bring back both Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, what type of expectations do they face this season?
Well, what a difference a year makes. This time last year, we were going into this season wondering if Baker would get his shot and be able to reignite his career. He did exactly that. The real question here is how much contribution will this team also get from their recent draft picks? Because it seems as if they've really loaded up. General manager Jason Light, once again proving why he's one of the more underrated executives in the league, added a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, an offensive lineman who could potentially start. So it feels like this offense should be better than last season. Of course, now the expectations are that much higher as well.
Okay, let's stay in Florida. Let's move a little bit further down south to South Beach, where Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert addressed expectations for Miami in 2024.
Help this team out and trying to bring home a championship. You know, that's the most important thing, especially for a guy who's, you know, myself. I've been through all the ups and downs, highs and lows within my career, but one thing that I do want to get done is get hold that trophy at the end of the year. I think that's you know is going to definitely solidify not only myself in the position that I'm in, but you know a lot of different guys on the team in their position that they're in.
Hawk, we've seen Tua and this Dolphins offense look like the greatest show on turf at times last season. What is it going to take for them to hit that next step?
Yeah, Tua's coming into his junior year in the Mike McDaniel offense. And so what we want to see for the next step is showing how comfortable he is in the offense, specifically what he does beyond reads two and three on a play. He is great pre-snap. He is quick and he is decisive and he releases the ball really fast. But there were times when he didn't show poise a year ago. This year, show how comfortable you are and let this offense take the next step with you at the helm.
Okay, let's stay in the AFC East to New England, where Patriots director of scouting Elliot Wolf joined Adam Schefter's podcast to share his thoughts on new Patriots quarterback Drake May.
As the process went along in the spring, we were pretty sure that Drake was going to be the guy, and obviously felt comfortable with that and excited about that, especially the more and more time that we were able to spend with him. He's really tough. He's all football. Comes from a good family. Just, you know, I could go on and on about this guy. And, you know, he's a younger person. And, you know, as he assimilates into our locker room, I think our players will rally around him.
A lot of praise for the rookie quarterback. Tim, how should the Patriots approach Drake May in his rookie season?
Look, I think they should play him. I think there's talk that they're going to try to not play him because the team around him, you know, isn't going to be very good. I just think this, and I said it earlier about Anthony Richardson, I think you need to play the position to improve at it. And if you're in bad circumstances, you have a chance to prove to your organization that you're the guy. Look, Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions his rookie year. Eli Manning had a zero quarterback rating, against the Baltimore Ravens in a game. He was kind of embarrassed. You look at, guys like Matthew Stafford threw 13 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 10 games his rookie year. It's not a good cast around him. And so there are going to be struggles. But if you're made of the right stuff, which I believe this guy is, then it benefits you to play through this type of adversity. And so I think they should play him. I think there'll be, you know, some people that want to protect him, and that's fine too, I guess. But it would be my preference that you play him so he can improve.
You saw that depth chart there for the Patriots offense this season. Some may say the cupboard's a little bare, but Hawk, based on what the Patriots have around Drake May in this offense, is it the best thing for him to sit before they start him?
You know, I can't say what's the best thing because every single player is different. Some people thrive in that scenario and it helps them, you know, accelerate their maturation. But the reality is the Patriots have said this is the guy that we think is our quarterback of the future. And if you look around, I love Jacoby Brissett, but it is time for him to get out there and get his feet wet. So I am with Tim. You have to put him out there and see what you have in him. I don't think this is a scenario where it will ruin him because they know what is in front of him. He knows the task in front of him as well. I think you start that project sooner than later.
All right, so we've got two of our esteemed panel today who believe that there is a path for Drake May to start week one. Jeff, what are you hearing about the Patriots' plan to break in their rookie quarterback?
Well, I can tell you, we're talking full competition here. That is the expectation between Drake May and Jacoby Brissett, something that Brissett has already made clear himself. This is an organization that has said they expect Brissett to be somewhat of a mentor, but also compete for that job. Drake May, by all means, still needs plenty of development, and they believe that Brissett is the type of guy who can win them games, even if he is obviously also not perceived as the long-term answer as the franchise quarterback. So they feel like they have a little bit of a buffer in there if May doesn't take the reins right away. But by all means, this will be a competition, and the best person will be the starter on week one.
Highest draft pick the Patriots have ever used on a quarterback, and it can't get any worse. I guess it's the good news for the Patriots offense after averaging under 13 points per game last year, the second worst in the NFL, only in front of the Panthers. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. The Chicago Bears rookies report to camp this week. Can Caleb Williams and company take the NFL by storm next year? We're diving in next.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
What is your next goal?
Learn all my teammates' names, learn the playbook, and get ready to go win games.
The Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze.
We got our guy. We got our guy.
Williams looking, floating it toward the end zone, jumping and making the catch. Rome Odunze.
Be along this journey together, something that's special. So hopefully when we're done with our careers, we look back on as, you know, the first moment that we realized we were, you know, teammates.
We'll see both Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze on the field for the first time this Friday when the Bears open rookie minicamp. And I had a chance to catch up with both rookies the day after they were drafted to ask what first year success looks like.
Caleb, we saw you backstage last night. In the moments after finding out that Rome was going to be your teammate, the excitement, I think you might have even invoked LeBron and D-Wade talking about the duo. How exciting is that for you and knowing what you can form here in Chicago?
It's really exciting for me. I've been able to, you know, watch this guy's highlights, and not only watch his highlights, but see him go to work against, you know, the USC Trojans. And he's been phenomenal. He's been a phenomenal receiver, you know, and so I'm excited for that, to be able to drop back and let this ball rip down the sideline for Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze touchdown.
Could you start to see how the pieces of this offense are going to be able to fit in play?
Definitely, definitely. You know, especially, you know, with Caleb throwing the ball, there's so many different avenues of the offense that we can explore, especially with the wide receiver core with such versatile receivers. You know, there's no limit to what we can do. So, you know, I'm super excited to dive into the playbook and unlock the master plan that they're going to have for us.
All right, we know both of you have high expectations for yourself. You won the Heisman Trophy. You led college football in receiving last year. For each of you, what does first-year success look like?
For me, it's learning the playbook as best that I can, and then, you know, knowing all the people in the facility, and then win as many games as we can. You go out there with the mindset of winning every game, and try and get far as in February as you can.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. Definitely want to, you know, build my relationship within the organization and you know, build our duo here alongside all the other great wide receivers. But go to the playoffs and go as far as we can, definitely.
I can tell you, as someone who lives in Chicago and covers this team, the expectations are exorbitant for Caleb Williams and the Bears. But keep in mind, there have been just 8 quarterbacks who have won 10 or more games in their rookie season. The most is 13 by Dak Prescott in 2016 and Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. They both came in with an excellent supporting cast and a great defense. The only Bears rookie to win 10 games was Kyle Orton, who went 10-5 as a starter in 2005. That was a Chicago team that had 5 Pro Bowlers on defense. Okay, so I have heard people on this show say that the situation Caleb Williams is walking into might be the best ever for a rookie quarterback. So, Tim, I turn to you here. What are realistic expectations for Caleb Williams in his rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is realistic to think that they could be a playoff team, double-digit win team. I think that is realistic. Look, we saw that list. Look, Andrew Luck was, you know, going to a terrible team when he showed up at Indy. So that's not the situation you're walking into because of the way that Chicago acquired the number one overall pick. And so with that, look, I think that outside of the fact that their division is really good, meaning Green Bay is a good football team, Detroit's a good football team, Minnesota's, I think, probably better than people realize. Like, I think because of that, it's going to be hard to get to be a 10-win team. But I think it's possible, and I don't think it's out of the realm of unrealistic expectations to think that Chicago can do that with Caleb Williams at quarterback.
I definitely think it's possible. They have so much talent. Like, when you look at this wide receiver core alone, you got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze. I mean, you could argue this is a top 5 receiving core already, and you have the top overall pick. Caleb Williams has so much talent. What I need them to be cautious of is putting too much on his shoulders. They can get to double-digit wins if they remain balanced. And I think they will do that with Shane Waldron because that's kind of what he's known for. Caleb Williams is going to have to come into this offense and to the NFL and understand that some of the things that may have worked in college won't work at this level. And they can keep that balance. If they can keep that balance, they absolutely have a possibility for double-digit wins because of the amount of talent they've been able to assume over the last couple of seasons.
All right, let's stay with this rookie quarterback class and the biggest keys to success for each this season. Hawk, I'm starting with you. Jaden Daniels in Washington.
Let the game come to you and use your abilities. Listen, you can run it, you can pass it, and that's what makes you special. On this show, we talked about a lot of people felt better about Daniels than they did about Caleb Williams because his floor is a little bit higher. So when he goes into Washington, there's absolutely still pieces that need to be there in Washington. But for him, if he relies on his abilities and doesn't try to change to do what other quarterbacks are doing or doing what people think he shouldn't be doing from a running game perspective, he will have success. Start there and let him mature.
And for Bo Nix in Denver, I think the key for him is to be willing to be coached hard. I mean, the reality is that Sean Payton will coach him differently than he's been coached in the past. And that can be a good thing for Bo Nix, who does have similar traits to Drew Brees, who obviously had a ton of success with Sean Payton. So I think be willing to be coached hard. The situation you're going to go to in Denver is a lot different than when you walk to in Oregon. And so I think if you do that, you'll grow as a quarterback and have success.
Well, Tim, I don't think we necessarily expected Atlanta to be the site of a quarterback controversy, but after the draft, that's exactly what it is. Now, the Falcons did draft Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall, but I continue to be told that the organization is viewing this as Kirk Cousins' team, that he will be the starting quarterback for week 1 and that this is not necessarily a competition, even if it eventually and inevitably will become a controversy. But for now, it's Kirk Cousins' team. He is the number 1 quarterback, or so the Falcons say.
Only a couple of days away before we see these rookie quarterbacks and other rookies across the league take part in minicamps. Exciting times in the spring calendar of the NFL. Still to come here on NFL Live, 7 wide receivers heard their names called on day 1 of the draft, but which ones landed in the best spots for their talent? Hawk has the answer when we return. Here's the next UFC.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number 1 pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fight night with a heavyweight main event that should be a slugfest. The prelims begin Saturday, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus.
Only one can be the best, be the best.
The Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's an honor to be first. Try to be my best self, be the best person, be the best player I can be.
Malik Nabers.
You got to come in and be a dog, so I'm expecting to be that.
Malik Nabers putting on a show.
Rome Odunze. Brian Thomas Jr.
Thomas wide open, touchdown.
Xavier Worthy.
Oh, my goodness. Record speed.
Ricky Pearsall. Xavier Legas. That closes the first round. Thank you, Detroit.
Another star-studded receiver class in the draft. Hawk, let's go through some of your favorite fits, starting with the first receiver off the board, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals.
Yeah, these are really three perfect fits. Start with Marvin Harrison Jr. because he fits perfectly with the Cardinals, mainly because he fits perfectly anywhere. These were incredible prospects. We knew it was a deep receiver class, but even still, MHJ was a step above because he is physical, he is quick and sudden, he can run, he has incredible route and technique, and his hands are impeccable. There is a reason why everybody was clamoring for a chance to get him. Next up, we have Malik Nabers. His perfect fit for the Giants is because of the skill set and his main value proposition, which is juice. He is quick. He is sudden. When you look at the Giants' offense, specifically who's at quarterback with Daniel Jones, let's be honest, there's a lot we still need to see from him. How do you help him? You get him a wide receiver that you can give quick throws to, and he's amazing after the catch. Yes, he can go up and get it. Yes, he's great down the field, but ultimately, you put the ball in his hands, and magic happens no matter where he is on the field. Last one, and my favorite one, is probably Ricky Pearsall going to the 49ers. Now, when you look at Shanahan's offenses, of course, they have Ayuk and Deebo Samuels. Independent of them, I think they still make this pick because Shanahan usually grabs a receiver in the top three rounds, and he didn't have one like Ricky Pearsall because Ricky Pearsall is a route technician. He is quick. He also is more physical than you see, and he is great over the middle of the field. Now he has a guy that he can line up on third downs, and when it's one-on-one, they know they have a man beater in Ricky, and I think that's going to be the underrated pick of all the wide receivers in this draft.
Speaking of fits, it appears that our invites to the Met Gala got lost in the mail last night, but there were a couple of NFL wide receivers who were representing on the red carpet. Odell Beckham and Stephon Diggs were there. OBJ in Bodhi. You can see all of the intricate flower designs on his suit jacket. And Stephon Diggs wearing H&M. I have not seen that outfit that he has on the rack the last time I was there, Hawk. Who was sporting the best fit there?
You know, this is a tough one because Odell is a veteran at the Met Gala, and I'm just now seeing these outfits right now. But I got to give the nod to Stephon Diggs. I think it's all his detail, the way it came together, even the pose. He was ready for the moment. I feel like he was actually, he's an underrated fashion icon when it comes to football. I've told him this before, that he doesn't get enough credit. I think last night at the Met Gala, people are going to start talking about my man a little different.
Yeah, he's got the drip, and so does OBJ. Two fashionistas, icons of the fashion game in the NFL world. Diggs looking pretty happy there, and he looked like he was back to his old self in the first half of last season. He averaged almost 8 receptions for over 90 yards per game and caught 7 touchdowns in his first 9 games. But then he fell off over the final 8 games of the season, kind of became an afterthought in that Bills offense, averaging under 5 catches per game and just over 43 yards, catching only 1 touchdown in the final 8 games of the year. So now that we know he has a new home in Houston, how do the Texans and C.J. Stroud get Diggs back to his old self?
Yeah, I think he does what I've been doing this block. He puts him on her back. You know what I'm saying? He does the whole thing himself. No, but seriously, when you look at what he did with the Bills, right, and people have questioned whether or not he was still a number one wide receiver, I would encourage you to go watch that Miami Dolphins film with Stephon Diggs early in that season. Yes, down the stretch, he wasn't the focal point that he once was, but even him being on the field set that offense up for success because he's a guy you always have to account and multiple people have to account for him. Now when he goes to the Houston Texans and you have Nico Collins, you have Tank Dell, you have Mixon out of the backfield, and you have C.J. Stroud, whose number one receiver is always the open receiver, he is going to see more one-on-one coverage than he probably has in the last 5 years. And so I think the result is going to be a resurgence of Stephon Diggs, and people are going to realize, wow, this guy is absolutely still a number one receiver, and he's probably going to be a free agent following that year.
Very crowded receiver room that Stephon Diggs enters. With the Texans, they had a busy offseason. They're the first team ever to add a player with 1,000 rushing yards. That was Joe Mixon. 1,000 receiving yards in Stephon Diggs. And a player recorded 10 sacks the previous season in Danielle Hunter. Plenty more to get to here on NFL Live. Coming up next, Stephen Jones believes Dak Prescott can lead Dallas to a championship. Why haven't they given him a new contract? We'll tell you what that means and what it's going to take for the Cowboys to get to a Super Bowl. Coming up next.
If you hear an eerie sound coming across Dallas, that's me screaming at night,
wanting to get in a position to get a Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter who we play, where we play them, we finish things in our way and to our standard.
Let's go!
Just a beautifully thrown ball.
That is unbelievable.
Let's hit
Sack. Good night. Parsons will come crawling out now.
Pressure is privilege. My expectations are so, so high. Higher than anybody's out there. But higher expectations creates higher results.
End zone. Caught. Touchdown.
We wouldn't want it any other way.
No question, there's a lot of pressure on America's team every season, but the Cowboys lost a lot of talent in free agency. Tyron Smith, Tyler Biadasz, Dorrance Armstrong, Tony Pollard, and Michael Gallup all moving on this offseason. And, of course, Dallas passing on every big-name free agent running back, including Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Swift, and Austin Eckler. They did bring back Rico Dowdle in March and signed Ezekiel Elliott on a one-year deal after the draft. But the biggest question centers on the quarterback, with Dak Prescott entering the final year of his deal in 2024. He has no franchise tag clause and a no trade clause in his deal. Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones yesterday sounding optimistic about the QB's future in the Big D.
I totally think Dak can lead us to a championship. He does everything the right way. You know, he's certainly the leader of this football team. He keeps, you know, everybody motivated in the off season. He's got everybody working out and doing all the things that it takes to put in the work to give yourself every opportunity to win a championship. You know, we're hanging around the rim. We've just got to go up there and grab it, to use a basketball term and dunk it in.
Stephen Jones saying all the right things that you say in the offseason when somebody has not agreed to a contract extension or one has not been offered. But, Tim, what do the Cowboys need to see this year from Dak to prove he's worth that long-term deal?
You know, I actually don't think they need to see anything from Dak. I mean, Dak has proved to be a really good player. I don't think there's any doubt that they believe that Dak is good enough to help them win a Super Bowl. Look at the past contracts he's signed with them. They certainly have felt that way. And look, I would agree. Does he need to play a little bit better in the postseason? Sure, he does. And that happens to 31 guys every year, basically, where they say, look, I need to play a little bit better in the postseason to get my team over the hump. Here's what I think. I think there's so much attention right now, you know, really by us and others, about like the future for the Dallas Cowboys. The reality is they've got Dak Prescott this year. They've got Micah Parsons under contract this year. They've got CeeDee Lamb under contract this year. They have other good players on their football team. Do I think they need to get better at running back? Yes. But they're a good football team that I think can make some noise. And if they get hot at the right time, then I think they're a problem for everybody in the NFC.
Hawk, in the here and now, those names that Tim just mentioned, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, they're all on this roster. With those three core pieces, what else is missing from this team being a championship contender?
A championship performance at the right time. Because to Tim's point, they are very, very talented. And when you look at their contract situation, there's zero part of me that doesn't feel like the Cowboys want to lock up all these guys. But we've all had bills that we had to pay that were maybe more money than we felt comfortable with at the time. So we gave it a little bit of time to let it sink in. And the reality is, CeeDee Lamb, when he signs his contract, will be the highest paid receiver ever. Dak Prescott, when he re-signs, will be the highest paid quarterback ever. And Micah Parsons will be the highest paid defensive player ever. And understanding that, that does mean that you have the pieces. Yes, they needed to address running back a little bit more, but they addressed the offensive line. And the best run games start in the trenches. If they could put together championship performances at the right time this season, which we've seen in glimpses in a second year of an offense that McCarthy is now being the general of, then absolutely they have the pieces to win a championship.
Jeff, we've heard Cowboys owner Jerry Jones say things like he's waiting for more leaves to fall, specifically whatever that means, regarding CeeDee Lamb's contract extension. But Dallas has been relatively quiet on all fronts pending these new deals. What are you hearing on the latest with these three, Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, being on this roster long-term?
Well, I love Hawk's analogy about kind of putting off the bills that you don't want to pay. The problem is this isn't one of those little things where, you know, you got to redo the carpet. We're talking about the foundation of the house here with some of these players. Like, we got to pay the mortgage here. Hawk, we got to pay the car bill after he's getting repossessed. So the problem here is that there has been no action taken yet, and it doesn't appear, at least at this very moment, that it's imminent. So obviously all of these guys are under contract for this coming season. We know that. Especially true for Micah Parsons, who's on his fifth year contract extension for next season. So the question is, can they get done Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb before this coming season? Of course, it would be the question we ask ad nauseum for the next several months, but as of right now, nothing is imminent.
Yeah, we always hear the term that deadlines spur action. There really is no deadline here for the Cowboys that they have to hit here, and we'll see and monitor just how they want to expedite any of these contracts throughout the next couple of months. Time for one more thing here on NFL Live. Jalen Hurts seen handing it off to Saquon Barkley in practice today. Hawks looks like the first of many we're going to see in Philly this season.
They're going to need it to be. If you looked at what they did last year and their lack of a running game that really hurt them throughout the season, that's why they brought Saquon Barkley in. Help Jalen Hurts out by giving Saquon Barkley the rock. That's the way you practice the offseason. Get used to it because it's going to be happening often.
All right, guys, this has been so much fun. For Andrew Hawkins, Tim Hasselbeck, and Jeff Darlington, I'm Courtney Cronin. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live around the horn. Show I'm usually on. That's coming up next on ESPN.